The World This Week. I'm Alan Jackson, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. It was the week before Christmas, and it would be nice to report that all through the world, not a crisis was stirring, not even a... But of course, that was not the case, with new terrorist attacks in the Middle East, in Britain, and again in Mexico City, and other political and economic problems still far from settled. The UN General Assembly adjourned this week with new questions about its future. The U.S. Congress adjourned with a new expanded Democratic majority prepared to take over in January. And this week, the country's new vice president was sworn in after almost 4 months of arduous examination by the committees of Congress. The vice president, Nelson Rockefeller, who three times sought the number one position in the White House, sounded an upbeat note of optimism in his inaugural speech Thursday night.
This is a period in which our country faces tremendous difficulties and unprecedented problems, both at home and abroad. Problems that affect every section of our country and every family in America. But there is nothing wrong with America that Americans cannot right.
The following day, the Congress adjourned after giving final approval to, among other things, a major trade bill, the first significant revision of the nation's trade laws in 12 years. This is the bill that will lower U.S. tariffs on products from the Soviet Union, on an understanding, at least, that the Russians will ease restrictions on Soviet Jews and others who want to leave the country. From Moscow, correspondent Richard Roth says there is still some doubt whether this will be the case.
Among many dissidents here who have been waiting a year or more for permission to leave, the announcement renewed fears that passage of the trade bill would do nothing to help them, despite the assurance of politicians in the United States. Physicist Mark Asbell called the Soviet statement very serious. There is nothing on paper, he said, and I am very anxious about it. But some felt the announcement and the letter from Soviet Foreign Minister Gromyko to Secretary of State Kissinger, in which Gromyko claimed the Soviet position had been distorted, were more an effort to save face than an indication the agreement had fallen apart. Before a cable came from the State Department warning diplomats here not to discuss the issue, American embassy sources were saying the statement was designed to convince the Russian people their leaders had not fallen to pressure from the United States. Last year, some 35,000 people left the Soviet Union to make a new life elsewhere. Emigration figures are not likely to be as high for 1974. Diplomatic sources say Soviet propaganda has been particularly effective this year in stemming emigration. Now they're saying it will take time, perhaps 6 months or more, to determine for sure just how serious were the Soviet threats. Richard Roth, CBS News, Moscow.
In Britain, an IRA truce for the Christmas season has gone into effect, with nobody at all sure that it will, in fact, last until the end of the Christmas season. In the Middle East, Israel and Lebanon agreed on a Christmas truce along part of their border to allow the Arab olive harvest to proceed. But there is no truce from the Palestinian guerrilla organizations, which, on the contrary, have promised to stage more incidents inside Israel before December 31st, the 10th anniversary of the first reported guerrilla action by the military arm of Al-Fatah. The World This Week will continue after this message.
The lady is very special. Her tan comes from the French Riviera, her shoes from a bootmaker in Italy, her coral necklace from the deep sea off Martinique. That's the lady. Very special. Now, take away all the trimmings, but leave the scent of her Magritte perfume in the air. Now close your eyes. The lady is still unmistakable. Magritte, just the perfume to wear at a formal dinner for 10 or backgammon for 2. It's the very special fragrance for very special people. Magritte perfume from Carvan Paris. It says a lot about you without saying a word. Magritte. Give a gift of Magritte to someone you know who's very special.
In New York this past week, the United Nations General Assembly concluded its 29th session with debate about its change in approach to problems of the world, from Palestine to inflation, industrial stagnation, and disruption of the world's financial machinery. Correspondent Richard C. Hoddle reports.
The way these problems were broached raised a new set of complications for the United Nations itself.
What happened was this. After the Middle East War of October 73, the Arab nations, flushed with pride at their military performance and the smashing success of their oil embargo, galvanized the whole of the Third World into concerted political action. The new majority coalition voted this fall to exclude South Africa from the work of the General Assembly. It put Palestine on the agenda, then voted to give the Palestine Liberation Organization permanent status as an observer. It backed up the Arab president of the assembly when he curtailed Israel's right to dissent, and it wrote a new world economic charter which angered the industrial states by authorizing confiscation of foreign property without compensation. When the United States and other Western nations complained, the coalition declared that times had changed and that the old establishment, which had used its majority in the past, had better realize it. This is in part a clash of generations, but also a conflict between the newfound wealth and power of the new majority and the more conservative interests of the old minority. It is a gap that must be closed if the UN is to function. Richard C. Hottle at CBS News, United Nations. This Christmas season is one of paradox. With a good deal of economic gloom where there is usually seasonal optimism, with prices high, business off, unemployment up, and production down, not only in this country, but in much of the rest of the world as well. The bellwether auto industry is a good example, with massive layoffs and drooping sales. The union vice president for Ford, Ken Bannon, says the industry is in the worst shape since the 1930s. The board chairman of General Motors, Thomas Murphy, is optimistic that the new year will bring an improvement.
We see a strengthening recognition of the need for government actions to bolster consumer confidence and to stimulate consumer and capital spending. There are also encouraging indications that such measures will be implemented. We look for the United States economy to enter the recovery phase in mid-1975.
A footnote to the gloom of the auto industry, there is no layoff of workers making luxury model automobiles. Those workers, in fact, are putting in a lot of overtime, trying to keep up with sales. And it's not only luxury automobiles that are selling well, but other luxuries, some of which might be called baubles. The president of Manhattan's prestigious Fifth Avenue jewelry emporium, Tiffany's, Henry Platt, says the store had 15,000 customers in one day last Saturday. And what did they buy?
We sold a collection of emeralds the other day for $600,000, and we sold a diamond ring a few days ago for $250,000. But this is not the area where we are generating most of our business. It is in the area under $10,000 that we are generating most of our business today, and we have a lot of things in the store that sell for around $10.
Platt says the most popular item is a small diamond on a gold chain that retails for $145. And similar stories are reported from other major cities of the world. In Paris, correspondent Peter Kalischer reports that for Frenchmen, it's like a fire sale in reverse. Only this time, it's the money, not the merchandise, that is damaged, and people are spending it under an illusion that it may be worth less next year. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. The World This Week has been produced by Harry Poloshin. I'm Alan Jackson, CBS News.